Our evening services, we've been going through the letter of James, and I was a little bit cheeky in calling tonight's Tongues of Fire. We hear, or at least I hear, Tongues of Fire, and I figure we're going to be talking about maybe Acts, when the Holy Spirit, poured itself out on the apostles in the room. There were little tongues of flames above their heads, or perhaps we're going to talk about the gift of tongues in the early church, which is always sort of a controversial subject in Reformed churches. And alas, we're going to be talking tonight about when we just run at the mouth, and when we use our tongues to set fire. And that is the way that James puts it in chapter 3. We're going to begin reading our passage for tonight. It's going to be James chapter 3, and we will read the first 12 verses. James 3, 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Let's pray. Our Father, give us wisdom with our words, wisdom with our tongues, self-control with our mouths. That is unnatural. Because we desire to both bless and praise you, our God and Father, and bless and build up those around us made in the image of God. Make our tongues more like that of Jesus Christ. May he be our guide in taming our tongues. So Father, as we come to your word tonight, as we approach this topic that is or should be anyway, convicting to all of us. We pray that you will remind us of your great grace and love, that we are forgiven for all of our sins. We are forgiven for the fires that we set with our tongues. And knowing that forgiveness, give us a great measure of your Spirit as well, to begin to bring our tongues under control, to let them speak blessing rather than curse. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. saying something stupid is a universal experience. It's a rite of passage. It's just one of those things that comes with being human. If you are alive and you can say things and you know people, you are going to say something stupid. And you might just do it all the time too. It's just one of those things that we do. And unfortunately, that we use them, I mean, not just for slips of the tongue when we say something, dumb, you know, perhaps we commit a faux pas in the moment, that's bad and embarrassing enough, but we also use them to, you know, to put other people down, to try to make ourselves feel better. We use them to talk about things and people that aren't our business with people who have no business knowing, but we do it anyway because it feels good to know the juicy details, and it makes us feel better to be able to talk about those sins that other people have that I might not have to quite the same degree. It makes me feel quite good, pretty holy, pretty happy with myself. And James goes on this bit of a diatribe here in chapter 3, talking about the trouble that we have with our tongues, that they are very little things, small things that make big problems. And he describes this in some very interesting language. Picking up at verse 3, he says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Okay, so a bit is just a little bit that goes into the mouth of a horse. It's just a little thing, but with it you can guide the horse in whatever way you want to go. And it's the same thing with our tongues, that it's a little thing and yet we can do big things with it. We can guide what we're going to do, what we think, what others think. We can say very damaging things with just such a little piece of our bodies. He continues and he says, look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot, I suppose it could be a pirate, the will of the pilot directs. And that was a happy coincidence. same deal, right? Small piece of the ship, much smaller than the thing as a whole, and yet it directs the ship every way it can go. How many friendships have been harmed by things said in a moment of anger or in a moment of carelessness? How many family Thanksgivings have been ruined by someone blabbing something that they shouldn't have said? How often are we stringent about the things that other people do or do not do, but we're lax and thoughtless in the things that we say? The tongue is a small thing, but it causes big trouble. And James wants us to know as well that we have, for all of the trouble that our tongues cause us, we have too small a view of what watching our tongue means. Picking back up at verse 9, he says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. And here's the thing. For pretty much my whole life growing up in the church, what I learned about watching my tongue, about being careful about the things that I said, had to do with pretty much two things. Had to do with not taking the Lord's name in vain, and had to do with not cursing, not saying bad words. And, you know, if you don't say OMG, as the kids say these days, and don't use the choicest of the four-letter words, if you cover those things, then you're watching your tongue. That's the job that you have. But James sees blessing God and cursing men out of the same mouth coming from the same tongue as an expression of the sinfulness of our tongues. And that always stops me in my tracks, right? I know a person personally who is positively horrified when they hear someone using a word that they consider crass or rude, and that's fair. In Ephesians 5, Paul talks about doing away with filthiness and foolish talk and crude joking. That's fair, okay? They're right about that. But this same person will happily spill every dirty secret about everyone that they've ever met, would talk casually about this person's drinking problem or that person's adultery or the other person's difficult home life, happy to bless God in one moment, recoil in horror at a bad word in the next, and then talk trash about Bob and Jill so-and-so down the street. James says this should not be. And for us, for Reformed folks, for Presbyterian folks, it's according to our confession of faith, the Westminster Confession of Faith and the larger and shorter catechisms. According to what the larger catechism says, this is actually a matter of keeping the ninth commandment against false testimony and in favor of truthfulness and charity in speech. The larger catechism 144 says that one of the things that the ninth commandment requires of us is preserving and promoting the good name of our neighbor. And larger catechism 145 in the next question says that one of the sins of the ninth commandment is prejudicing the good name of our neighbor. That's completely in line with what James says here. Bless God and curse men made in the image of God. This should not be so. So the tongue makes for big problems. And it turns out that the problems that the tongue makes for us is even bigger than we first thought it to be, because it includes taking the Lord's name in vain for sure, and it includes, you know, crude jokes and all of that for sure, but it's bigger than this too. It has to do with the way that we talk about and to each other, the way that we try to guard each other's names and reputations. It all matters. So the problem's a little bit bigger than we might like to admit, at least from the get-go. But James, for all of the very negative things that he says about our tongues, and for the most part, he's pretty down on our ability to tame our tongues, he does offer some hope for us in this question. What hope is there? He says that we're all lousy when it comes to controlling our tongues, and that's true. I'm guilty of it. I imagine we all are. And if we think we're great at it, we're just not paying attention. James says that if you control your tongue and don't stumble in what you say, then you must be perfect, is what he says, because the tongue is just about the hardest thing there is to control. And since none of us are perfect, often quite the opposite, there's room for all of us to grow in dousing the fire of our tongue. But again, James seems down on the possibility of that ever happening in any way, right? We can tame all of these things around us, all the birds, all the animals, everything, all these creatures that we see in the world around us, we can tame all of them, and yet he says no one can tame the tongue. Look at where he says that. It's in verses 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, it would be easy to read that and take away that we are all just totally doomed to curse and to gossip and to say the stupidest things for the rest of our lives. And it's true that none of us will gain perfect control over our tongues in this life. This is true. But it would be wrong to despair. A very literal reading of verse 8, where it's translated here, but no human being can tame the tongue, a very literal reading would say, no one among men can tame the tongue. Now that may just be an idiom that means no one can tame the tongue, like it's translated here. But what it actually seems to do is to take our first hope for a tamed tongue out of our hands. On this point, Saint Augustine says this, commenting on James's passage here. He says, he does not say that no one can tame the tongue, but no one of men. So that when it is tamed, we confess that this is brought about by the pity, the help, the grace of God. And that's from his On Nature and Grace. If Augustine is right, and I think he is, then our only hope to see some growth and maturing in the way that we use our tongues is to trust God's grace. Part of the problem, I think, is that we don't really want to stop treating every thought that passes through our heads like it's so important, so deep, so meaningful that we just have to share it right now with everybody who's standing around me, that they'll be so blessed to hear what it is that's in my head right now. We don't really want to stop sharing all the dirty little details about each other that we know. It's a lot less fun to preserve our neighbor's good names. So we don't ask God to help us, or we convince ourselves that if we, you know, we convince ourselves that really it's just about the few rules that we can keep. If we don't say OMG, we don't use particular four-letter words, then we are sufficiently holy in speech. We just lower the bar so that we can meet it, and then we're happy. The truth is, and this is what James hints at when he says, no one among men can tame the tongue. The truth is that we need forgiveness. We have all sinned grievously in the way that we use our tongues, and yet we have one who is willing and able to pay the penalty for all of that sin and to forgive us for it if we put our faith in him. And the truth is that we need and can receive the help of the one who was silent like a lamb before his shearers. We need the help of the one who could call the Pharisees to repentance when it was needed and the right thing to be said. The one who could offer comfort to those who were suffering near him by speaking healing just with his words. Of the one who could hold his tongue when he was before the authorities, when he was ready to bear our sins and the time was not right to speak. That one, Jesus Christ, he will forgive. Having lived the life that we live, yet without sin, having known all of the temptations that we know, yet without sin, he understands how difficult it is to tame our tongues, to use them well, to use them in a way that glorifies God. He will help if we ask. It won't mean that everything is better just like that. It won't mean that we reach some sort of perfection at some point in this life. It's not going to happen, but he will lead us in his footsteps if we ask. No one among men can tame the tongue, but the Lord can. The Lord Jesus did. So he will forgive you your sins. He will forgive you your loose tongue, and praise him for it. And he'll help us too, if we ask. Let's pray. Our Father, give us words to truly glorify and praise you, to sing praises to the name of Jesus who has delivered us from all our sin. And give us words to speak well of, to speak encouragement, to speak blessing to our to our neighbors, to protect each other's names, not to gossip, not to put others down, not to curse those made in your image. Remind us always that that is true of each person that we meet, especially the most difficult ones. Father, comfort us and remind us of the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us from all of our sins and washes every inch of us, including our tongues. And give us hearts that desire for our tongues to live in conformity with the character of Christ, just like the rest of us. May we be renewed in His image, including in the use of our tongues. So we pray that you will help us to use our tongues now to glorify the Lord Jesus as the one who delivers us from our sins and who guides us in the way of life. It's in His name, in Jesus' name, that we pray.